Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome as we celebrate indeed on this marvelous day, the 241st birthday of the United States of America.
You know, John, it was not an easy birth.
Not an easy birth indeed, Franklin. For 10 years, King George and his parliament had gulled, cullied, and diddled our colonies with illegal taxes. The Stamp Act, Townsend Act, Sugar Act, Tea Act. And when we dared to stand up like men, they blockaded our ports, seized our ships, halted our trade, burned our homes, and spilled our blood. And still, for one full year, this Congress refused to grant any of my motions on independence, even so much as a courtesy of open debate.
And John, when that debate finally started, it was still a long battle. The provision that any vote on independence had to be unanimous meant that many compromises had to be made.
And the fact that it was a fellow Pennsylvania delegate that proposed the issue of a unanimity, it caused me great concern. Finally, it was agreed that before any vote could be taken on independence, a document must be drawn up outlining the reasons for such a bold move.
And who better to draw up, to put to words the reasons for our independence than our friend from Virginia, Mr. Thomas Jefferson?
Hear, 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 hear.
It took me all of 18 days to put to paper the reasons for seeking our separation from Great Britain. And before a final vote was taken, the Declaration went through many changes and deletions, the most difficult being the issue of slavery.
But despite these disagreements, the final document was given approval on this day in 1776. Friends, hearken to the words presented to Congress as written by our dear friend, Thomas Jefferson.
The Declaration of Independence of the 13 Colonies, in Congress, July 4, 1776. The unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain, George III, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, Let facts be submitted to a candid world.
He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with many firmness his invasions on the rights of the people.
He has refused for a long time, after such dissolutions, to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state, remaining in the meantime, exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within.
He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states. For that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries.
He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power.
He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent,
for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English law in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument of inducing the same absolute rule in these colonies.
For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever.
He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people.
He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, dissolution, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands.
He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare in an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions.
In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people.
Nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends.
We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This has been 18 years of gathering with you on the steps of this fine institution in this wonderful city to read the Declaration of Independence. We read these to you one time every year. We would hope that sometime during the rest, the other 364 days of the year, you would take time to read the Declaration of Independence also. But remember indeed the words that we are all created equal, men and women. Yeah. That we all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which indeed we all do share. Ben wants to know if I'm running for president again. Perhaps. We like to speak about the people who it did indeed gather in Philadelphia in 1776, those who toiled away to put together the document that we shared with you today. The men who wrote and signed the Declaration were ordinary men brought together by extraordinary times. Some were learned.
Yes.
Some were not.
Yes.
Some were self-made men. Others were attorneys, merchants, great planters, small farmers. Some held slaves. Others were fervently against slavery. Some of these men believed in the American cause immediately, but others had to be brought in. Some changed their minds quickly. Others came late to dance. A few saw the writing on the wall and joined the cause.
John Adams thought July 2nd, the day the resolution for independence passed in the Continental Congress, would be celebrated as Independence Day. Even then, Delaware delegate Caesar Rodney rode 80 miles nonstop from his home near Dover, Delaware, to Philadelphia, and arrived just in time to break the tie of the Delaware delegation in favor of independence. On July 4th, When the delegates agreed to the wording, the declaration was not unanimous. New York's delegates had been ordered to abstain. People sometimes change their minds slowly, but the ball once rolling couldn't be stopped. New York replaced their delegation and voted for independence, making the delegation of the declaration unanimous by July 9th, 1776, in time to change the heading for the official signed copy.
The familiar calligraphic parchment was actually signed on August 2nd, 1776, and George Read of Delaware, who had actually voted against independence, signed the parchment. Our forefathers came around to the one all for one, one for all mentality. Only 39 men voted for independence, yet 56 would eventually sign. Likewise, some signers were not even in Congress at the time of independence. Sometimes, when momentous events are in play, people get caught up in the winds of change blowing all around them.
On that day, July 4th, 241 years ago today, only two people, the Congressional Congress President John Hancock and the Secretary Charles Thompson, signed the original document. The official broadsides only listed two names. The general public would not know the names of the signers until early 1777, when Congress hired Baltimore printer Mary Goddard to print new copies that contained all of their names.
After the war, many of these men made great fortunes. Some of those fortunes were lost for all the reasons people lose their money: greed, speculation, bad business decisions. But many fortunes were kept, establishing political dynasties, universities, and great commercial endeavors. Two signers became presidents, three vice presidents. Two were appointed Supreme Court justices, 13 signers became governors, seven were congressmen, and six senators.
Some of these men died young. George's Button Gwinnett was killed infamously in a duel with a political rival. Others lived to see the nation they helped build spread its wings. One thing is sure, for the rest of their lives, these men recognized that they had set momentous deeds into motion.
We tend to cast history's players in marble, put them on pedestals, but these men were subject to the same emotions, the motivations, points of character, and failings as all human beings. The men who voted for independence were not always unanimous and were not always united. Their roles in Congress, by its nature, invited debate and disagreement, but they helped to create a system that could weather disagreement and sustain a government for over two centuries, despite changing times, values, and people. It is our charge today to carry on their legacy. So we say to you all, indeed, happy birthday, 241 years to the United States of America. Just think, in just 6 years, your community in 2023 will be 400 years old. Yeah. So we wish you all the best of this July 4th. Celebrate with fireworks, with barbecues, with family and friends. But remember, as our good friend Will Bock has oft said, we are all Americans. Yeah. Happy birthday, America. Yeah.